Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
How many want to see people get born again? Yes. See people get saved? Yes. Well, thank God. Praise God. That's what God wants. I said, that's what he wants. He wants to see people come into his kingdom. He wants to see people born again, come under the umbrella of his protection. We have God's heart. He is in us, and therefore in us is a heart for the lost, a heart for the world, those that don't know the truth, those that are in the darkness. You and I have a heart for them, don't we? That's what's on the inside of us. That's what's on the inside of us. And so we want to stir up that love of God that is in us. And we don't want to just get caught up with this world's way of thinking, this world's way of doing things, which is primarily selfishness, being self-centered. Our motivation is love. It's the love of God. We're motivated by God himself. He is our inspiration. He's the inspiration that gives the motivation to do what we do in life. I said he's the inspiration that gives the motivation for us to do what we do in life. We're not just doing our own thing. We're not just doing our own will. We're doing the will of God. And over here in Isaiah the 30th chapter, Isaiah 30 and verse 1, it says, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not by my spirit." See, you and I are to do what we do by the Holy Spirit now. We're not doing our own thing. We're not just coming up with our own plans, our own ideas about what we're going to do in life, or even what we're going to do today. We're going to follow the leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit. We're going to draw near to God, and we're going to find out what is the will of the Lord. Thank God you and I can know the will of the Lord. We don't have to walk around wondering about what is the will of God. We can go to God and find out his will. Amen. And we are to be led by the Spirit of God. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for your day. Amen. He'll help you plan out your week. He'll help organize you. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's my organizer. Helps me keep my head screwed on straight. Helps me to know what I need to be doing, what I need to be getting done. A lot of times that comes as I spend time with him in the morning. First thing, I spend time with him. Get along with the Lord. And it's amazing how just spending time with him, all of a sudden, suddenly, something will come to my mind. You need to take care of this. You need to take care of that. And I'll begin to jot things down, or he'll just begin to give me vision for the days ahead as I spend time with him. This morning, spending time with him, all of a sudden, he shows me what to share tonight out of Isaiah 30. Begin to show me, begin to give me revelation from the Word of God. So we're not just doing whatever we think we should do. We're doing what the Spirit of God is leading us to do. He'll help you. That's why we need to spend time with him. It's a ridiculous thing to say, well, I just didn't have time to wait on the Lord, to spend time with him. You know, I've got a lot going on. Well, you're a rebellious child. I didn't say that, did I? I didn't mean to say that. But notice he says, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me." If you didn't pray, then you didn't take any counsel of him. "And who devise plans but not by my spirit." They're planning their own day, planning their week, planning their life out, and they're not consulting with the Holy Spirit. See, that's rebellion in the eyes of God. We think it's busyness, but it's actually rebellion. And we need to understand that. I don't want to be a rebellious child. I said, I don't want to be a rebellious child. I want to be a submitted child, submitted to the Lord, following his plan for my life. But folks run around doing their own thing. That's what it is. That's how it comes across to God. He says, and who devise plans, but not by my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. We know that Egypt in the Old Testament is a type of the world system, the world that is in rebellion to God, the world that's doing its own thing apart from God. And so these folks, they're plotting their own course, coming up with their own plans, and they're going to Egypt, going down to Egypt to get their counsel, to get their advice, just in other words, going to the world for all their help. Well, you know, that's how it was before we knew the Lord, but now that we know him, we need to come to him, not go to the world for our answers. The Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians that the saints, the church, will someday judge the world. You and I have been made rulers over this world. And so why would we be going to the lost for counsel and for wisdom and for help and for direction when you and I are actually to be the ones to be a light of direction to this world? Amen. No, you and I are not a part of the rebellious children who are leaning on the world for everything. You and I are leaning on the Lord, and we're putting our trust in him. Can you say amen? And notice when we come down here in chapter 32, verse 12, it says, therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity, and rely on them. Now, who are we talking about? Well, verse 1 told us who we were talking about. The rebellious children. Right? Those that are living for this world. Living according to this world system. The lost. He says, you despise his word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them. Therefore, verse 13. This iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. Now, I've been talking about over the last few weeks about standing in the gap, standing in the gap. Standing in the breach, in that break in the wall that is around people's lives, the lost, to be an intercessor, to stand in there and to be a source of protection for the lost. And I said that in the walls of protection around the lives of the lost, there are holes, and the holes in the wall, the breaches, the breaks, in their wall of protection is sin. And we see it right here. He says, verse 13, therefore this iniquity shall be to you, or sin shall be to you like a breach, a break, a gap, ready to fall, a break in the wall. So iniquity is the break. Iniquity is the breach. The Amplified Bible says for iniquity, sin and guilt. Therefore, this sin and guilt shall be to you like a breach ready to fall. But we know God is calling us to stand in the gap, to stand in the breach, right? To be a patch in the wall of the lost, to protect them, to keep them from destruction. Now, ultimately, if they do not repent, if they do not come to the light, if the lost do not come and get saved, eventually the wall's coming down. The whole thing is going to come down and fall apart. It's going to break apart because of sin. Sin will produce death ultimately. It has to be repented of. It has to be turned from. You and I are to bring the mercy of God like a patch. We're to stand in the gap and provide protection for the lost. But mercy does have a time limit on it. God gives people a time to repent. In other words, a patch isn't a permanent cure for the problem. It's temporary. And there's a lot of folks that think they can just live their life off of the mercy of God. But you can't live your life off of the mercy of God. You've got to move from the mercy of God over into the grace of God, which is getting over into the ability of God to be able to live a life free of sin. So you and I are not to be reliant on the mercy of God ourselves to be able to get by in life. A lot of people do. A lot of Christians just depend on the mercy of God. They know in their heart they're not living according to the word of God. They're not doing the things that God is leading them to do. But they're just trusting that mercy is just going to stay there with them all the way through. All the way through this life. But it's not true. Mercy has a time limit. Mercy is temporary. We need to move from mercy over into the grace of God. Now, thank God for mercy. But you can't live there. You got to live in the grace of God. Live in the ability of God. And if you're living in the ability of God and you're a doer of the word of God, then you don't need mercy. You only need mercy when you're in disobedience. I said you only need mercy when you're in disobedience. But if you're in obedience, if you're doing everything you know to do, you're following the Holy Spirit, He's leading you, then there's no need for mercy at that time. And that's where you and I need to grow up into. We need to come to that place where we're living according to the grace of God. We're not just leaning on the mercy of God to protect us. I know I'm not living right, but God's merciful. And, you know, God's mercy is protecting me. Well, that's true for a time. What we need to be doing is walking around in obedience to God, having confidence in the grace of God. People confuse mercy and grace terribly. Terribly. They think God's grace is His mercy. So when they talk about grace, they think it's mercy. They think, well, you know, thank God for God. I'm just an old sinner. But then there's grace. There's grace. And see, they think the grace is forgiveness. It's two separate things. Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore we come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Grace and mercy are two different things. In mercy, there is forgiveness. God is long-suffering. He's merciful. He's patient with us. But over here in grace, you and I are walking in the ability and strength of God, walking in obedience to Him. You don't need mercy there. See, a lot of folks are confused on this, but we need to get that confusion out and understand, no, I'm to move for mercy. I'm to live in the grace of God. I'm to live in the ability and strength of God. Not always walking around with a complex. And I'm just an old sinner, and I know that I'm unworthy, and I know, but your mercy endures forever. Well, thank God His mercy endures forever. Thank God we could receive mercy no matter how many times we can come and get mercy from God. But that's not where we're supposed to stay. We got to get over here into the grace of God where we stand up and we live like the Bible says we are, as more than conquerors. Amen. You remember over in the book of Revelation, the Lord said concerning that lady Jezebel, He said, I gave her time to repent. I gave her time to repent. See, that's mercy being extended. Now, if you repent, thank God you can receive mercy. That mercy is there. It'll always be. It doesn't matter if, when he talks about mercy enduring forever, that might sound like a contradiction to what I said when I said there's a time limit on mercy. So let me clarify. When he says mercy endures forever, he's talking about no matter how many times you fall, if you repent and you turn back to him, he's going to forgive you. If a person repents, there's mercy. And repentance is not just asking for forgiveness. Repentance is turning from the thing. If you have a repentant heart, God's mercy will never run out on you. Are you following me? God's mercy will never run out on you. You'll always be able to come to him and be confident. Glory be to God. His mercy endures forever. He forgives me. But if a person has no intentions of repenting, they're not going to turn from the thing. And they're just saying, well, his mercy endures forever. In other words, I don't have to repent of this. He's going to forgive me forever concerning this thing. You see the difference? Well, see, that's not having a right heart before God. There's a time limit on that. I gave her time to repent. In mercy, I gave her time to repent. And that time will run out. So time is running out for the lost. They don't have forever. I said they don't have forever. We got to realize that they're in a desperate place, in a desperate situation. They need desperate help. The lost are living by the mercy of God. The only reason why they're still living, the only reason why Satan hasn't completely run over people's lives that are lost, it's because of the mercy of God. There's a wall of mercy around him. But it's breaking apart. It's got a time limit on it. It's crumbling. It's falling apart. We want to get them out from behind that, and we want to move them on over behind this wall of grace. Amen. Where they're doers of the word. Walking in the light of the Bible, where the Word of God isn't something they despise any longer, but the Word of God is what they live by, just like you and I. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So then the next verse, he goes on in verse 13. Therefore, no, verse 14. And he, talking about the Lord, shall break it. Remember, talking about that wall that's breaking apart. He says, and he shall break it like the breaking of the potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare. So there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water from the cistern. In other words, this thing's going to be broken down. This thing's going to be smashed in pieces. And I want to remind you of Psalm 2, verse 8, where the Word of God says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. And again, the word nations there can be translated heathen. I will give you the heathen for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Now that should get us all excited, because that's the greatest possession the Lord can give you, which is what? Heathens, people, human beings, the souls of men. See, a lot of times folks get excited about, oh, Lord's going to supply all my needs, and the Lord's going to provide me with all kinds of nice possessions. And they're just thinking about material things. Well, you know, material things you're not going to bring to heaven, will you? Are you? Thank God he takes care of us materially. It is his will to give us good things in life. And we need to preach it. We need to build our faith up in that area. We need to receive those good things from God. Hallelujah. We need to even receive the wealth of the wicked. But ultimately, we want the greatest possession. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have a heart for this. This is your heart. We got to sink down past the mind and renew our minds, get our souls saved, get over into the understanding that our spirit, that what's in our spirit, which is the love of God for mankind. He says, I'm going to give you something really fantastic. All you got to do is ask me for it. Ask me, and I will give you the heathen as your inheritance. I'll give you human beings for you. I'll give them to you. Glory be to God. That's something we got to claim. We got to get excited about it, lay hold of this promise from God, and begin to claim it. I'll be driving down the road, bless God. Somebody cut me off, you know, and I'll claim them. I'll claim them. I said, Lord, I claim that heathen as my inheritance. And you see, I know they're a heathen because they cut me off. They would never have cut me off if they weren't a heathen. Claim them. Bless God, I claim them. I might never see them again on this side, but I stop praying for them. Father, send laborers into their path in the name of Jesus. I mean, if they really get on me, man, if they really stir me up, I'll really pray for them. I'll really believe God for them. Well, that's what Jesus meant when he said, bless those who curse you. Right? That's how you can bless them. Claim them for the kingdom of God. He said, ask of me and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Glory be to God. There's no limit to how many souls you and I can reap for the kingdom of God. And we need to rise up in prayer and in faith and begin to cry out for this. And I believe God will answer just like he said he would. And he'll give us the ends of the earth. He'll cause people come from all over the world to Life of Faith Bible Church. It's happened in other places. Why can't it happen here? Why not? All God's looking for is a cry of faith. Some people to rise up and want this inheritance that he has purchased for them with his own blood. He has purchased this inheritance with his own blood. And all we got to do is rise up and want it and take it. Amen? And the ends of the earth for your possessions. And then he goes on, verse 9. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. See, what's he talking about there? He's talking about that pride of man. Breaking that pride of man with the rod of the word. The word of God is likened to a rod. And it'll break that pride of man. It'll break down that rebellion in their lives. Amen. So there's nothing left of the old man. I like that. When you go back to Isaiah 30. In verse 14, and he shall break it like the breaking of a potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so there shall not be found among the fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water from the cistern. There, I mean, it's just smashed to pieces. Nothing left of the old life. Nothing left of the old man. Have you been shattered good enough? Have you let the word break you to pieces? Break apart all that pride. Break apart that old life that you used to live, relying on yourself, trusting in yourself. No. We're trusting in the Spirit of God now. If we're not, then there's still some pieces. There's still some pieces of our old man that we're using to collect water. Collect a little fire, carry a little fire in, and go out there and get our needs met and take care of ourselves. We still got little pieces of the old man that we're carrying around. Man, we need to take the word of God, present all those pieces before the word, and start smashing them. Smash it to pieces, man, so that we can stand and say, it's no longer I that live. That old man is gone. I mean, I don't relate to him anymore. There's no connection to my old way of doing things anymore. I'm done with it. We're not just a little saved. We're totally saved. We're so saved. We're extremists. Can you say amen? Somebody say, I'm an extremist. We need some extremists around here. It's funny, all this political correctness in the world, you know, they attack that. Like, oh, they're an extremist. Yeah. That doesn't intimidate me either, that you'd call me an extremist. I'm extreme. We need to be completely extreme, completely over on the other side of things. You know, Jesus said over in Matthew 21, verse 44, he says, and whoever falls on this stone, the stone that he was talking about was the chief cornerstone. He is the stone. And he says, whoever falls on this stone will be broken. Everybody say broken. That's right. Come to him and you're broken. Broken how? In pieces. Psht. Nothing left of the old life. But then he goes on, he says, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now that's total annihilation and destruction. That's talking about judgment. So if we don't fall on him, if we don't allow the word of God to break us of the pride and of the old way of doing things, then ultimately he will come down upon us in judgment. Judgment of sin and annihilation will be the result. But Isaiah 30 verse 13. No, verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be what? Saved. In quietness and confidence shall be, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. So notice first it's talking about this breach in the wall, which is sin and guilt. Then he talks about this breaking of the old man, which is what? A person being coming to Christ and repenting. Talking about repentance in that breaking, falling on the rock, being broken, repenting of the old way of doing things. And then the next verse, for thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. Flows right into now being saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not. Notice verse 16. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee and will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. What's he talking about there? He's talking about those that refused the salvation of the Lord. Refused to repent and said, no, we're going to save ourselves. We're going to deliver ourselves. We're going to continue to trust in ourselves. And we got to watch even as Christians that when we get into a trial, when we get into a test, we don't immediately begin to try to save ourselves looking to the arm of the flesh, looking to Egypt for deliverance. Many times it's under pressure that we find out where our faith is really at. What are we doing? Who are we running to? First one we need to run to is the Lord. We need to run to him. Put our trust in him. Because when we yield to the flesh and we run, you know, the voice of this world is panic. Hurry, you got to do something. You got to do something about this. You got to do something about this. Your finances, you got to do something about this. You got to hurry up. You got to react to this. You got to move. Look at this condition. Somebody says something. Somebody does something. Hurry. You got to react. You got to move. That's how the world is. Pressure to move quickly. React quickly. But when we're trusted in the salvation of God, we're resting. We're resting. We're not running. I said we're not running. We're resting. And when we rest, what happens? Our strength is renewed. What strength is that? That's the anointing of God. The Holy One of God is strengthened upon our life. But when we run, watch this, the enemy is strengthened. And the faster you run, the stronger he gets to pursue you. But because our reacting in the flesh empowers our pursuers. So that he says, you know, we're going to flee. We're going to flee on these fast horses. He says, yeah, well, Those who are going to come after you are going to be fast. Well, we're going to ride on swift horses. Therefore, those who pursue you shall be swift. Because you're the one making them swift. You're making them strong in their pursuit of you by yielding to the flesh. So yielding to the Spirit empowers the Spirit of God on your life. But reacting to the flesh empowers the enemies who are pursuing your life. So we need to wait upon the Lord. Not be in a panic. I said, wait upon the Lord, not be in the panic. Not be in a panic. I got to do something. We got to react in the flesh. Run and do something in the flesh. We got to build up this wall of the grace of God and have confidence in our salvation and know that God is for us and what he says is the truth. The other day, I also felt something tighten in my throat. Just tight. It was like a pain kind of hit me in the throat. I said, that's the devil. I said, you shut up and get out of here. Don't you touch my throat. I went to bed that night. In the middle of the night, I woke up and my throat was burning. I said, you shut up and get out of here, in Jesus' name. And it did. I woke up and there was no more sore throat. It was gone. And then last night, close to bedtime, also I felt this pain hit me in the throat again. I thought, that's the devil. I took authority over it. Thank God we got authority over the devil. Man, I woke up last night in the middle of the night. My throat was on fire. I mean, it was like a volcano. It was burning. And I laughed. I said, you got to be kidding me. I know that's you. Shut up and get out of here. I'm healed. Well, it just burned. I said, I'm going back to sleep. When I wake up, this is going to be gone. Just resist. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee. Flee! But if you flee, he'll pursue. Amen. If you flee fast, he'll really come after you hard. And even sometimes, you know, I've even gone and said, well, you know, I'll use my faith, and then I'll go get a little warm salt water, and I'll gargle, you know, some warm salt water. They say that's good for a sore throat. I said, I ain't gonna gargle this time. I mean, I hadn't had too bad. I said, you're not coming in here. I went back to bed, woke up, no sign of a sore throat at all. I mean, it was burning in the middle of the night, no sign of it at all. Hallelujah. You got to do something about this. You can't just go back to sleep with this sore throat. I mean, you got to take something, do something. Well, thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for the truth of God's word. Thank God for the promises of God. We need to be building our faith up. And using our authority on the enemy. Now, am I against somebody running and getting salt water or doing something else? No, not necessarily. It just depends. Depends on where you're at spiritually. But we need to be growing. Growing out of our dependency upon the flesh and this world. And growing in our trust in the Word of God. Can you say amen? And so therefore, when we're trusting in him, bless God, we're not running, we're standing, trusting in him. Notice here in verse 18, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. Therefore, he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. Now, notice that the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. You know, the Lord's waiting on us to get over into faith and wait for him. There's so many folks running around, running away from the Lord. Running around, again, trying to save their own life, do their own thing, trusting in themselves, trusting in the arm of the flesh, looking to man for their help. And they're running around to and fro, real busy, and the Lord's patiently, graciously waiting for us to stop running and to wait on him. So that he can move in our behalf. He's waiting for us to wait. So that he can move on our behalf. And this is so prophetic of our redemption right here. Notice again. Therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore he will be exalted. That word exalted can also be translated lifted up. Lifted up. Therefore he will be lifted up. that he may have mercy on you. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, talking about the crucifixion, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about being lifted up. The day will come. Isaiah's writing it. That God will be lifted up on that cross so that he can have mercy on us. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good and patient? Waiting for us to wait for him. Verse 19, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Notice that the people will dwell in Zion. A Zion is, under the New Testament, is the church. It's the church. He says the people shall dwell in Zion. In other words, the people will come in. The lost will come in. The lost will be saved. They'll be born again. They'll come into the kingdom of God. Why? Because of your cry. Crying out for the lost. Crying in intercession for the lost. You know, I believe that when we cry in intercession to the Lord on behalf of the lost, that they might be saved, maybe on behalf of an individual that is lost, God looks at that as though they themselves, that lost person, is crying out to him. We are being a voice for them. They don't have the sense at this time to cry out for him, but we're standing in the gap, standing in their place, crying out on their behalf before the Lord. And to the Lord, it's as though they're crying to him, and he's granting them their request. Amen? He's granting them that mercy and grace. Glory be to God. Verse 20, and though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Talk about there in adversity. The Lord will teach you how to be victorious. Here's the thing, folks. Your greatest revelations you will find will come in tribulation. Will come in adversity. Adversity comes, what do most people do? They react and run to save their lives. But those who wait on the Lord, many times, will see his deliverance and hear him, receive revelation from him that transforms their life forever. Some of your greatest revelation that you'll receive from God will be found in affliction. So don't try so hard to run out of it. Wait on the Lord, and he will speak to you. He will show you things. Glory be to God. No more being moved into a corner. Hallelujah. We're going to stand still and see the salvation of God. Hear from the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Glory be to God. He'll give you direction. He'll show you the way out of that trial, out of that affliction. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. I want to go on. There's so many good things here. Verse 22, but we're out of time. We're out of time. I wanted to get to verse 24 and going down through 30 and just look at revival and how we're living in it right now. We're living in the time of revival. Glory be to God. So, Lord willing, we'll come back and finish these things up. Some good things here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of God. Can you say amen? Let's stand on our feet tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.